This morning, before we get into our passage, how has truth made a difference in your life? And I know that's kind of broad, and I did it on purpose. All right, so we can go, and maybe we can go in a few different directions with that question. But how has truth made a difference in your life?
Got my mouthful, but it's hard to say this without sounding arrogant or puffed up, but when you try to be truthful, I find that people believe what you're saying when you try to tell them something in the future.
Okay.
So that it isn't, I've always heard people say something, they say, "No, that's the honest truth."
And as opposed to, "I'm usually lying to you, but now I'm really..."
Exactly. And so, you know, I find that the conversation or the instruction or the words that I'm trying to say to somebody, I don't have to follow it up with, "I'm telling you the truth."
Yeah. All right, so truth has made a difference because it has given you more credibility.
Right.
All right, ever.
I think it simplifies your life.
Okay.
Give you some peace, knowing that you don't have to live a double life, because it's that tangled web. We try to say one thing to another or think other things, and then once you're truthful, you don't have to live a life of hypocrisy, because sooner or later it's going to come back on you and how you feel about yourself, your salvation, or whatever it is. And if you don't have to worry about what you say being untruthful. Just like you can talk freely.
It's like you're saying, as we spin our web, we're trying to deceive other people.
Just
tell the truth. It's so much simpler that way.
Yes, it is simple.
The truth is facts. Can't debate facts.
That's also a good way in a relationship to be truthful in all the debate.
That's what I mean. Facts are facts.
That's right.
All right, so let's bounce off that one. When are facts, how can facts be different, though?
True. Two sides of opposing things can both be right, but still opposing each other. And not everyone, even your opponent, may not be your enemy.
Okay.
Like, two people can have, like even in our Civil War, we had Christians on both sides, and brothers fighting each other, mm-hmm. both loving God.
Right.
Who was right?
Killing each other.
There was even people right on the South, not all of them, slavery, freedom and states' rights and other stuff.
But a lot of that has to do with perception. If five people see a car accident and you ask them all for a firsthand eyewitness testimony, it's all going to be slightly different. There will be some things the same, but as we read our Gospels, what do we see? Each Gospel writer's relaying their experience, and again, the majority of all of what's recorded is similar, but there are some slight differences in there. But I know what you're saying, Dennis. I was just being devil's advocate there.
Yeah, you did a good job.
I'm trying. All right, John.
I wonder if in the next slide you're probably going to say something like that part of the Bible where it says, "Let you yes be yes, and you know, you know." That way, you're like, "No, I'm just going to tell you yes. I'm not going to promise you my yes is no."
Right.
But truth is tricky, because one of the worst feelings we can get is being conned and betrayed. And faith is believing without necessarily verification or knowing. And God is true, and we have to live by faith. And when it comes to truth, I like to, integrity is a big family value in my family, but I've lost it. It's not an actual army value. I know this. Because I keep making my word that I'll be here and I'll do this, and then the army interferes and says, "Yes, we know we told you that, but you got to do this, you got to do this." And I have to go back on my word, and I'm not there for them. I could have done these three things, but only two things.
Right.
And all of a sudden I become less dependent.
Right.
My integrity suffered. And you can tell the truth, but be wrong. incorrect. Like, I didn't lie to you, but it turned out I was wrong. My information was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why truth can be tricky. And as I said, the worst feeling is being conned and stuff. I like to kind of approach it like structural integrity of the building, like, you know, the big bad wolf and the pigs, and he blew down the houses. Like, right. The first house made of hay or sticks had structural integrity, and the building made out of bricks had structural integrity. They both had integrity, but one was stronger than the other. You don't want your truth and your word to be hollow or insincere. You want it to be solid. You want to be confirmed. You want to have faith in that person or that God or that commitment in what they say is true. Same thing in diplomacy. It's all over the place in the world.
Right. Yeah.
Poland's one good country because their faction is less divided, and when you make a diplomatic agreement with them, their government is usually one religion, one ethnic group, one party. It's not likely to be null or voided or changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be truthful, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. That's why truth is such a big difference and such a big trouble with people. Truth, trust, faith, it all is complicated.
Okay.
For me, truth helps me have good type of guide rails on my choices.
All right. So it helps you with choices that you make. All right, Teresa.
It's just because truth, or who we can trust when it comes to humans, is very tricky. But knowing that there is a source of all truth, there is a source of truth that we can have confidence in and we know is true and just and right, God's word, God himself, is very comforting to me in a world that's very confusing. Knowing that there is a source of all truth and that I can go to him, it just makes so much more security to me.
Okay. So it gives security and consistency.
Ever? Based on the housing analogy, it allows you to build your house on the rock, and so a firm foundation, not a shifting sands. Because we look all the time at what's going on in the world, and sands shift. The truth shifts. You know, there's so much untruth masquerading as truth on what we watch and read and listen to, that if we focus it on the absolute truth, as Grace mentioned, you know, it gives us the ability for increased discernment and knowing what truth is, and you know, that just makes you live your life in a kind of biblical worldview.
Okay.
You know, from Jesus.
All right.
Hey, nailed it. I mean, you shouldn't believe in absolutes. There's only one absolute, and that's God. Everything else can be con or situation dependent or meddled or something comes up and sideways. But God is absolute. And there's some truths in the Bible that God even says, test me on this. Like, honor your father and mother, children belong on the earth, first commandment with a promise, tithing. There's a lot of truths that you can test, and they always come true.
Right.
Some of them take a while, like tithing and other stuff, but you live in the truth. So we're kind of impatient. We like short suffering, not long suffering, but it is true. Those truths.
Okay. All right, good. Jackie?
I feel that when people are more truthful, it helps you trust people more.
All right. So, okay.
So from like the standpoint of like how it affects you, like it makes you more trusting and you're not questioning what people are saying.
Okay. So it provides a level of trust to those that you're interacting with. Good. Anybody else? Okay, Millie.
I'm like sitting here saying that they're real deep. I'm thinking about whenever I decided I was going to be truthful, and that was in 95 when I got clean and sober. I had to change how my mind was twisted and take every thought under captivity and speak only truth, but I was used to speaking whatever that would come out of my mouth, which would be a lie, and I would have to stop and tell someone, I'm so sorry, I lied right now, because I would fabricate. You know what I mean? That's kind of like how I didn't grow up in church.
Right.
And so to change all that was such freedom.
Okay.
You know, it was a lot of freedom. Truth is freedom.
Okay, freedom. Mike?
truth. I think truth leads to unwavering conviction. With truth, as it was explained, you know, there are boundaries. If you stay within the truth, your convictions will be solid, whereas you will not try to waver away from them. It keeps you on track.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. So we are still in that Jesus praying for his followers, 9 through 19, and sanctified in truth in 17, 18, 19 of John 17. Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. So in these three verses, Jesus brings the truth part up quite a bit in them. And so just slight, and I don't know, I saw this just the other day, didn't really think a whole lot about it. And then I thought, you know, I'll just bring it to your attention. Because, you know, I learned a lot of verses that I've memorized. Almost all of them are in the King James. And I remember memorizing this, sanctify them by thy truth. And so then as I was reading in the ESV and it says in the truth, I thought, well, you know what, you know, is there a difference there? You know, in the truth, by the truth. And I looked up in the New King James and it was by your truth, thy truth, your truth, the truth. You know, just slightly different, but does it really change the meaning any? No. All right, it's not changing the meaning. And we'll see that as we progress here a little bit farther. Because the truth is, Jesus is praying to the Father, and it is his truth. It is, as Jesus said, your truth that we are looking at. So, he says, sanctify them in truth. So, obviously, the first thing I would ask is, what does sanctify mean? And I know we, a couple weeks ago, we brought that up just a little bit. There's lots of definitions for sanctify or sanctification. This is Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, and there are eight different definitions that he has there. And it's interesting because he has scripture references for half of them or more. All right, so I know you probably can't read all of that. I'm going to focus on number five there, and I blew that one up. So sanctify, and again, this is Webster's dictionary, 1828. And he says, for it's from sanctus, holy, to make, and then he defines it as to cleanse from corruption, to purify from sin, to make holy by detaching the affections from the world and its defilements and exalting them to a supreme love to God. And he actually uses John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. All right, so this is. How he is describing this word sanctify, cleansing from corruption, purifying from sin, making holy by separating us from the world, making us or bringing us closer to God and his love. Or in Ephesians 5:26, does anybody remember? I have it on, I'll show you, but what is the intent? What is Paul talking about in Ephesians 5? Anybody? I know, it's a trick question, or, you know, it's one of those, it's early in the morning. All right. It says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the world, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. All right, so this was the other reference that Noah Webster is using to define that definition, number five. All right, so John 17:17, and then Ephesians 5:25 through 27 here about sanctifying the church, sanctifying his bride, cleansing us through the water of his word, with the word. All right, so we see this in both of these references. We see a conjunction or a comparison, a correlation between truth and word. And we'll look at that as well. So what does this process look like from a practical viewpoint? This idea of cleansing from corruption, purifying from sin, making holy by detaching the affections from the world and its defilement, and becoming this exalting to supreme love to God. What does that look like practically? Because often we hear, you know, God sanctifies us and it's a process and on and on. But I don't know if we often slow down long enough to actually think through the process or what that actually what that's actually looking like in our lives. Can anybody look at your own life and say, you know, this is what it looks like? I mean, Millie, you gave an excellent example just a minute ago. You know, everything that came out of my mouth was a lie, and I began to stop and say, you know what, that wasn't the truth. This is the truth. Okay, that was that process of sanctification of God working in your life, removing corruption, removing the affection, the things of the world to bring you closer to Him. Yep, Micah.
To be sanctified, you're basically separating yourself from, sometimes it feels like you're separating yourself from what is natural, because this world is sinful, this world is fallen, it's inclined to go about things a certain way. So to be holy, you have to separate yourself
from that. Okay.
So, I mean, that's the big thing I learned about holiness. To be holy is to be separate, literally put aside.
Right.
So with the talk up there of, being separate, detaching the affections from the world and its defilements, a lot of people focus on defilements. Like being holy is being clean, being pure, being better. I don't see it that way. Holy is not being better. Holy is being different. Mm-hmm. Separate.
Okay.
So people, when you're walking with God, people notice that you are different. Do things differently than they do. So.
Okay. Like, we tell the truth. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Yep, Millie.
When you're walking with the Lord, and you have friends and family that are not walking with the Lord, they don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it
pulls the mirror up to
them. Okay.
It really does.
All right.
So that's how you can kind of tell you're on the right track. Not unless you're around other Christians.
And right.
Like, I have my Christian friends that I'm around a lot. I need that because I have other, like, I went over to my children's house on Thanksgiving, and they're talking about the Bible not being true, that man took it and made it to control man. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at them, I'm going, you guys believe that? I just said, you need to ask God to show you. And I just turned around and walked off.
Right.
It's like, they get in this debate, you know, and it's like, and they've been around this for, they're grown adults, 40 and 32, you know, it's just like,
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? What is the practical look or appearance of this process of being cleansed from corruption?
It's really an internal thing. Have to be listening, I guess, to the Holy Spirit. When we have to understand that we're not perfect, and therefore when we want to be sanctified, live a sanctified life, we have to be open to the direction of the Holy Spirit, including conviction when things that we're doing is, or even if we don't understand it to be, per se, a sin, but the Holy Spirit convicts us in a way that we're not comfortable with something dealing to changing.
Okay, kind of comes back to James, to him that knoweth to do good, whatever that is. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to something that's good, and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So that, okay? Julie. Okay.
I had a coworker the other day that she was spouting off about something, and she said, her comment was, if Julie wasn't here, I would have said that differently. And I said, okay, so I'm like, something like, does she understand? That would be offensive, you know, if she blew up like she wanted to. So it's being that example to others around you doing the right thing.
Okay.
That your life has changed, and hopefully it will change others as well.
Okay, Jonathan?
Sanctify is like David. He was after God's heart. And like the Christians are supposed to be sin, or not supposed to necessarily be sinless. I mean, we sin, but we're supposed to sin less.
Right.
Be aversive to sin, like repelling magnets. Like, you know, that old song, or children's song, is the light of mine, I shall let it shine. Mm-hmm. So.
Could you sing that for us?
I didn't know, I know all the words. But you let your light shine, but not just in the truth of the Christians, where you're like, oh yeah, you're in church, of course you're right. But just like Jesus going to the sinners and loving the sinners, you didn't love the sin, you love the sinners. Yes, be a better person, surround yourself with better people, but you go and witness, and you don't necessarily surround yourself by sin, but you go and minister to other people. Like, your light goes to the darkness and surrounded by darkness, but you can still be sanctified and holy unless you take some of that darkness as a part of you and compromise. And like, let's say, I will never sleep with another person, but I'm not married, but let's say I won't sleep with anyone else but my wife, but I'll still flirt, I'll still kiss, that's compromising.
Right. All right.
That's corrupting my sanctification of my marriage and my commitment.
Right.
And I'll say maybe one corruption of us when it comes to truth that we all accept and do. I do too, and I don't think it's wrong. Like, sarcasm, that's an acceptable lie. It's not exactly true what you're saying, but it's understood. Sarcasm.
Right.
It's funny. And so sanctification is, you're holy, you have your integrity even in the midst of the dirt.
Okay. All right, good.
You just don't take part of the dirt and put it on you as armor.
Right.
Like as an excuse or a temporary thing or, I'm immune to this. I'm an exception. I'm not sinning because I'm being around God.
Yeah.
God's child.
Right. So it's definitely something that starts inwardly. The Holy Spirit is working in us, and the Holy Spirit is using different avenues, whether it's Scripture or the testimony of another individual or another believer or whatever, just all around us, the Holy Spirit can use any of those things, but he's then convicting or working within us. And then it always is going to come and become something outward. You know, that inward change, that inward transformation then is going to directly impact how we behave, how we speak, how we respond to other people in different circumstances, and when bad things happen, how we respond in those scenarios. So all of that, and then we should be able to, and I forget who mentioned it, but we should be able to reflect each year, every so often, and kind of re-examine our lives and say, you know, am I lying as much as I did a year ago? Am I, you know, responding in anger as much as I did a year ago? And that's one of the great opportunities that we have as believers, just to look and to be able to kind of reevaluate ourselves and to see, okay, I can see how the Holy Spirit's making progress in my life and how I'm more submitted to the will of God, or more submitted, more in tune with his leadership and those things. And so it is a process of working out, and as we are becoming closer to the Lord, or as we are separating from those things, as Micah said, that are worldly, it makes us different, but that the thing that we are becoming different to is becoming more like Christ, becoming more in the image of God himself. So Jesus prayed that the Father would sanctify the disciples with truth, or in truth. So what does Jesus mean by that, sanctify them in the truth? All right, so we've kind of talked about what it means to sanctify. You know, we've defined that, we've worked through that. But now he doesn't just say sanctify them, he says sanctify them in the truth. All right, so what is the idea here? All right, not just that they're different, or not just that they're separated, but he says sanctify them in the truth. So what point is Christ getting across here in his prayer as he's praying to the Father on behalf of the disciples? Yep, Mary? All right, so believing the truth will build your faith. Good.
Well, you wouldn't want to have the idea of sanctification based on wrong information.
All right. So the sanctification is based on the correct information, or correct, what we would say is the truth. And that'll come later.
And they're not like many of the random, willy-nilly people that covetous be a saint.
Okay.
They are sanctified by what the Holy Spirit is doing authority.
But God's word is true.
God's word
is true.
Right.
So sanctified God's word.
Right. So the sanctification is coming by the truth of God's word. And I think the prayer of Christ here isn't just, you know, make them different, but make them different because of the word of God. Make them different because of the truths that are found in the Bible, in the scripture. And those, you know, even, you know, at that time, the disciples only had the Old Testament. But there are so many truths in the Old Testament that can change our lives and can make us different. And, you know, now we have the New Testament as well. So there's so much more added. And I think as Christ was praying, we'll see this as we continue. You know, he's not just praying for the disciples, but he's also going to pray for all those that will follow him. And of course, Christ knows that there's going to be more scripture written. There's going to be a larger canon. We're going to have a New Testament and those letters and the truths found within. So through all of that, now he says, you know what? Sanctify them, make them different, make them, draw them, allow these truths to separate them from the corruption of the world and to draw them closer to the Father because of the truths that are in the Word of God and the truths that we have recorded for us. So we have three distinct views that are presented here. I don't have time to cover all of them. Maybe I can just highlight them before it's time to go, and then we'll talk a little bit more about them next week. But the truth found in God's word will make us pure and holy. The central truth of God's saving love sets into motion God's work in us. And then three, the process of passing on through preaching, teaching, and sharing God's truth would have a purifying effect in the disciples' lives. All right, so kind of this is the idea that we're going to go in, and we'll kind of expound upon that next week. How's that? All right, so... And, you know, let's, you know, I guess your homework for the week, if you want to think, ponder something for the week, how do these go together and how are they separate and how are they the same? All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, what are the similarities between these three things and what are the differences? How are they a little bit different as well? Father, thank you for your word. And we know that your word is truth. And thank you for giving us truth and absolute truths that we can live by, that we can find security in and just stability and knowing that even as things change around us, and I know in the past 10 years, so many things have changed and have rocked so many people's world. And yet we know that you are truth and that we can find rest and security and stability in you. And I pray that you would give us a good week. Be with Pastor as he preaches in the service. Give him fullness of your spirit to proclaim the word. In your name, amen.